Stevens Johnston, who is a daughter of James Stillman Stevens. She was born in Stevensville on November 25th in 1891. I am her son, Edward, and I am going to ask her a few questions about the origin of and what she knew of the Stevensville area. Mother, how did Stevensville come to be a community?
Hiram Stevens, my grandfather, first came to Aroostook County and settled in what is now known as Maple Grove on the Reed Farm, what is now the Reed Farm. One of them. And there my father was born. Until recently, the little house in which he was born was still standing.
At Maple Grove?
Yeah, at Maple Grove.
Now this, this must have been in the 1850s or 60s or somewhere in through there.
Early 18.
Why did Hiram come to Aroostook?
I think he came up in the time of the Aroostook War.
Okay, and then that he first settled in Maple Grove area.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether the other children were born in that area or not, but my father was. And Hiram had married Dorcas Whitney. And when she died, he married a...
He married twice after that,
yeah,
I recall.
I think the first wife's name was Gujo. I'm not sure.
Then he married another Stevens.
A
woman by the name of Stevens, yeah.
No.
Huh?
No. He married Annabelle Ham. Was third brother.
All right, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Third brother, the one that the children always knew as Grammy Stevens, was Annabelle Ham, a widow who had two daughters, and she married my grandfather. He settled there in Maple Grove, and then later went to what is part of Fort Pettus known as Green Ridge, and lived on a farm known as, now is the Beck, John Beckwith farm?
I believe Delbert or John Beckwith lives on that farm
Beck.
Now.
Yes. There's a row of maple trees from the house to the road, which is planted by the Stevens boys. My grandfather had a small sawmill down in the little woods opposite side of the road. His business grew, so he moved to the down on the river and settled what was called Stevensville. There was my father's home, grandfather's home, and two uncles settled there on the river in what was known as Stevensville, beside a number of other houses, some of them belonging to the Stevens Company, which were rented to the workers in the mill.
The mill made lumber and
shingles.
What were some of the other families in that settled in that area about the same time, maybe that you grew up with? Were there any predominant families?
There was a Smith, George Smith's family. He was the blacksmith.
Then a community formed around there,
yes.
And around the mill and the family and the operation. There was the community,
yeah,
which people people started referring to as Stephenville.
Yeah.
Blacksmith shop and a mill.
And the railroad, CP Railroad ran right down near the mill.
Uh-huh.
There was a station there where the train stopped. People could go back and forth to Fort Fairfield.
What other buildings made it a community? Were there churches, stores?
There was no church. There was a store with a hall up over, which was called a... there was a store with a hall upstairs where they had their weekly prayer meetings and social affairs.
Huh.
And there was a schoolhouse.
I suppose that was all, what, 8 grades or so in one, mm-hmm. a one-room schoolhouse, was it?
At first it was just one room, and they had two schoolhouses. Two different buildings, and they had two teachers. My first teacher was Mary Hoyt, a daughter of Sewell Hoyt, sister of aunt of Bix. And
they had their meetings, prayer meetings, but the church, as far as the church was concerned, was in the village, Fort Fairfield Village.
They went to the Congregationalist Church. They were strict Congregationalists, which is now known as the United Parish.
United Parish
mm-hmm.
Church?
Mm-hmm.
Did sometimes seem so, you told me, that the lumber for the present United Parish Church there in Fort Fairfield was sawn and planed and so on at the Stevens Mill. In Stephenville.
I don't remember. I told you that. I think Dot did, my cousin.
Oh. Came to me somehow.
Yeah.
Hiram was, according to the history of Fort Fairfield, was a deacon.
Oh, yes.
In the Congregational Church.
Very religious.
The mill operated from then somewhere, say, in the 70s or somewhere around there. On through to the early 1900s.
Yeah.
Would you tell me the story of the first electricity in Fort Fairfield?
The electric station was built by the Stevens boys not far from the mill. And the electricity was generated by steam boilers. And I don't know who the first electrician was, but I think it was Frank Toll, who was a son of Olive Stevens, Hiram's daughter.
Hiram's grandson.
Yeah, the Hiram's grandson.
And they lighted just the mill?
No, they lighted Stevensville, the houses in Stevensville. With one string lights hung down from the center of the rooms. I can remember when they were installed it, I must have been about 3 or 4 years old. So that would make it in the mid-1990s.
Is that all they supplied, with just the Stevensville area?
For a while, and then they supplied Fort Fairfield. First lights of Fort Fairfield came from the...
They extended it on into the village.
Mm. Yeah.
Where in Stevensville was the lumber mill located?
There's a quite a good sized island in the river there, and the mill was connected by a dam. There was a dam built from the mainland to the island, and that furnished the power, would it? I'm not sure I'm saying things right. It furnished the power for the mill. And
Does there any remnants of that? Have you noticed in later years any remnants of that mill?
The mill burned in 1904 or 5.
And that was the end of the Stevens Lumber Company, as far as that goes.
That's the same, yes, same.
But did not, thinking about this, did not the power company in Fort Fairfield remain in the hands of the Stevens family for several years?
Yes, it did.
Into the...
Dell, Uncle Dell, not me, Stevens, was the...
Fort Fairfield
Power Company.
What was the name again?
Uncle Dell.
No, well, what was the name of the company? Fort Fairfield Electric Company?
I think so. I think that was it.
What else went on in the community of Stevensville besides the lumber mill?
George Smith had a blacksmith shop. And,
was it cleared land? Had they cleared the land for
it? Yes, yes. And there were a number of farmers. The most prominent ones were the bishops. Max Bishop was a well-to-do farmer. Remember him?
Remember the name?
Yeah. And there's a horse farmer.
Now, where did, coming up from Fort Fairfield Village, where did Stevensville, so to speak, begin?
I can't remember particularly whether it was down at the, where the Hopkins Road goes up to, over, or that was the lovely farm there. I think that was it. And it went from there up to about where John Redeker's farm is.
Where there's a gravel pit dug there now. Were the Redekers in Stevensville when you were?
Oh, yes.
Seems to I remember you and John Redeker talking about your childhood.
And another family that I knew was up a little further. But I don't think it was called Stevensville, although the children went to Stevensville School, was the Shaw. Neil Shaw's.
Oh, yes.
Family.
The mill buildings consisted of more than just the mill.
There was a boarding house. They boarded the single men that worked in the mill. And a number of them had families and lived around.
Seems so you told me about a cookhouse.
Oh, that was up at the dam,
Boom? Where they had the boom to hold back the lumber?
Yeah.
The logs?
That was the cookhouse where they made the big molasses cookies I like so well.
Buildings that were there when you were a child, the 1890s, that are still there in Stevensville? You mentioned that this building which your father was born was present at Maple Grove for some time. What about Stevensville?
No, everything burned, more or less. The store burned, and the only building I know, and it has been remodeled since I was a child, is a schoolhouse. And the building that was my home where I was born is still in. That's where the Robbins family lived. That yellow building I told you. Then we moved from there when I was about 5 years old to Grandpa Stevens' home. He had passed away and his widow moved with her daughters. And Father bought the house and that's where what was more or less known as home to me. Nowadays, it is the it has been moved from our spot to the Harold Hopkinson farm.
Okay, moved across the road, I think you told me once. Mm-hmm. So that it originally was on the other side of the road and closer to Fort Fair. In addition to your house, some of the other buildings?
They're still in Stevensville, the Max Bishop home. And what was known as Jean Bishop's home. And the Murray place. I think Gilbert Sherwood lives there.
Okay, those buildings right through there where Nightingale's and Sherwood.
There's another building there. I don't know who lives there now.
Yeah. As far as Stevensville goes, I can't think of many other questions, but I would ask you, what was the politics of Stevensville?
The Stevensville were all Republicans.
Republicans, and a good many of their descendants have stayed the same way?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, I didn't mention that in 1903 or 1904, a water system was installed in Stevensville. Water was supplied to the students' homes and some of the tap to some of the houses, other houses. It was generated by a windmill up on the hill.
The well water.
And well pumped down. And
so that as far as Fort Fairfield is concerned, the first sort of public utilities occurred in Stevensville, the electricity and the water works.
Well, the water works just supplied Stevensville. That didn't go into Fort Fairfield.
Do you recall anything of the fort at all? Was there anything left of the old fort when you were a girl?
No. Just a few logs up on the hill. I think they're still there. But where the, I don't know who lives there now, it used to be the Congregationist Parsonage. No, I don't. Remember about that.
Well, it's come a long ways from the kerosene lamps and the horse and pung and the outhouses and such things as that.